That'll dry your fire, dry your wood out, and light it again. Amen. God's so good. DC's belly. Do you feel like you can do it again, son? His belly. Y'all know he had his belly fixed. It's the first time he's played a guitar since he had the operation. God's got his hand on him, isn't it? Awesome. Now stand up and sing that again.
Is our God, sing with me how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great is our God.
Glory! Glory! Isn't God good? Amen, amen, amen. Again, let's go ahead and pray because I got all kinds of scriptures here. You don't want to miss next week because next week, guess what's coming up next week? Valentine. So guess what I'm going to preach on next week? Guys, you better listen. Get your wife here. Next week is no excuse Valentine. Wow. No excuse Valentine. Yeah. Isn't God good? Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to be in your house, God, to worship you in spirit and truth. We know, God, that you got this. We trust you 100%. We ask you right now, Lord, to, to bless this service. And Lord, I ask you, Lord, let it minister to us mightily in the name of Jesus. Let nothing be said through strife or vainglory, but let everything be said for the edification of the body and for the glorification of your Son. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. Before we get going, I got to read you a little something. I was reading this week, and this is quite amusing. So to be a true story. This is supposed to be a true story. A nun is sitting with her mother superior, and they're chatting. She said, Mother Superior, I used some horrible language this week, and I feel absolutely terrible about it. When did you use this language? Asked Mother Superior. Well, I was golfing. And I had an incredible drive that looked like it was going to go over 200 yards, but it struck a phone line that was hanging over the fairway and it fell down straight down to the ground after going only 100 yards. Is that when you swore? Said Mother Superior. Nope. She said, after that, a squirrel ran out of the bushes and grabbed my ball in its mouth and began to run away. She said, is that when you swore? She said, nope. But, well, no, says the nun. You see, as the squirrel was running, an eagle came down out of the sky, grabbed the squirrel in its talons, and began to fly away. Is that when you swore? Nope. Not yet. As the eagle carried the squirrel away in its claws, it flew near the green, and the squirrel dropped my ball. Did you swear then? Asked Mother Superior. Nope. Now she's becoming impatient. Says, no, because the ball fell on a big rock, bounced over the sand trap, and rolled onto the green and stopped about a foot from the hole. The two nuns were silent for a moment, then Mother Superior sighed and said, you missed the putt, didn't you? That was a good one. Yeah. Some of these are so old, the first time I heard them, I kicked the slat out my crib, but this is not an old one. All right, so here we go. This is the last installment on Do You Understand What Worship Means? And again, I left in a bunch of stuff from last week because I want some congruency with it. I want it to be together. And if you weren't here last week, I want you to get it. I just won't spend as much time on each point. But the act of worship, 8 points, of misinformation. 8 points of misinformation. Now, how many of y'all would like to go into a house fire without a hose? Anybody? I've done it. It's kind of crazy. How would you like to jump out of a plane without a parachute? I did not do that. Praise God. I had a parachute when I jumped out. How many like to go into the snow without a coat? Of course, some of us have done that too, but how would you like to do that? Now, and it keeps going on and on, but here's the question. How would you like to face the world today when you get out of here? How would you like to face the world today without God? Wow. Not only that, how would you like to face God without worship? Wow, he deserves it. He is in charge of all things. He does all things, and he deserves our worship. Now, here we go. Out of all the things that God has given us, think about this now, out of all the things that God has given us, the only thing we can truly give to God is our worship. You give him back whatever you give him, it doesn't matter. Whatever you give him back, he's already given to you. So in order to be able to give him something that he didn't already give to you is to give him your worship. So knowing this truth, here it is. What's our excuse not to worship him? Remember, this is the year of no excuses. What's our excuse for not worshiping God? What's your excuse if you're not worshiping God? What is your excuse? Now, again, this is the stuff from last week, and we're going to go through it kind of quickly. I'm not going to stop and dwell on it, but I just want to get it in there. So whenever you need to pick me up in the middle of your battle or in the middle of your disappointments, how many's had a battle lately? How many's had any disappointments lately? How many's had any hurts and pains lately? Well, for a few moments of worship can improve your perspective, and it can bring joy. And worshiping God, remember, this is not just bounty. Worshiping God is the quicker picker-upper. Amen. We got to make that into a bumper sticker. Worshiping God is the quicker. Move over, bounty. Worshiping God is the quicker picker-upper. Amen. So now, we got to go through this going through quickly. Misinformation. How many has heard that word misinformation used about 9,000 times in the last few years? Both sides. It's not just one side, both sides. All sides. You keep hearing misinformation, misinformation, misinformation. That is the byword of this season. But although it's a strong word, it's been diluted. The political parties have actually destroyed this word. They've taken away all. When I hear from misinformation anymore, this means that either they don't want you to know something or they don't know something or whatever, but it doesn't necessarily mean misinformation. So today we're going to talk about a spiritual truth that carries a lot of weight, a lot of misinformation on worship. So remember, God designed us to worship. He called us all. A while ago, we were worshiping good. I mean, I love it when we're worshiping. It's like playing the bass is so easy because it's just worshiping God. Singing is so easy because it's just worshiping God. We raise our hands and God is just pouring it out, and it's so awesome. So remember, Romans 1:20, God designed his creation to worship him. For the invisible things of God from creation, we know there is a God. And he wants to be worshipped. And there's no excuse. Look at somebody and say, there's no excuse. Romans 1:25 says, they changed especially this day and time, they changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature versus the creation. Isaiah 55:12 says, the mountains and hills will burst into song, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Whenever God communes with us, we respond with thanksgiving, with praise, and with worship. So real quickly, and then we're going to go right into to 8 points of misinformation. There is a difference. I have people ask me this all the time. What is the difference in praise and worship? We just had praise and worship just then. And if you'll notice, in this song, there was a mixture of praise and there was a mixture of worship. Praise is about God. Worship is to God. Think about it now. Praise is about God. Worship is to God. Praise is opening up. Worship is entering in. Praise is boldly declaring, and worship is humbly bowing. Praise applauds what God has done. Look what the Lord has done. Worship is honoring who God is. How great is our God? Wow, we ended, we had a whole lot of praise today, and we ended with just flat out worship. How great is our God? And all will sing. The whole world will sing. How great is our God? So here we go. Get ready to write these down. If you write them down, misinformation number one. I love this. Worship is forgetting about what's wrong with you and remembering about what's right with God. So, our purpose or our goal in worship. Misinformation number one. Worship is when we talk about God. The truth is, worship is when we come into the presence of God. It's a true God encounter. Psalm 22:3 says, yet thou art holy, thou who is enthroned upon the praises of Israel. He inhabits the praises of his people. Number two, I love this. You seek too much information and not enough transformation. God transform us. My prayer every day is, God transform me. Transform me. Do y'all know what a transformer does? Anybody know what a transformer does? I'm not talking about the robots that change. I said, y'all know what a transformer does? People start going, no. A transformer takes one voltage and converts it to another voltage. That's what it does. It takes one voltage and it converts it. It does a whole lot of work inside some coils, but it takes one voltage and it converts it to another voltage. So when God transforms your life, he takes you as you are and he does something special in you. And so what goes in is not what's coming out. Because you give God what you are, and God can take what you got and turn it all around and all around and do something very special, and he can transform your life. Our lives need to be transformed, okay? So, misinformation number two, true worship leaves me feeling pleased. No. True worship leaves God feeling pleased. Oh, I feel good. I felt good. I felt like, you know, it felt so good to have DC back and all of us just playing and worshiping God. It felt so great. But you know what? Although it felt great, I kept saying, God, I want you to feel great. Even when we prayed in the very beginning before we practiced, God, you take over the service and you be pleased with everything we do for you today. Ephesians 5:10, the Amplified says, and try to learn in your experience what is pleasing to the Lord, that your lives be constant proofs of what is most acceptable to him. So many Christians believe that they are the audience. When y'all said we're worshiping to an audience of one, we weren't the audience. Y'all weren't the audience. He's the audience. Wow. He's the old. He's the one. Although people hear you all around, they know it, they see it, they sense it, still, they can hear it, but he's the one that I'm worshiping. All right, misinformation number three. In worship, the focus is on the activity, performance-driven. There's a whole lot of that going on nowadays. Lord, have mercy right down the road. And find the best performance-driven worship you can possibly, money can buy. Ain't about that. Well, that's great. I'd much rather be back there playing than being up here playing. You know, I can tell y'all try to be nice about it, but when DC's not here, y'all go, hey, you did pretty good. When's DC coming back? In the same, I never even took a breath. Man, you did good. When's DC coming back? Why don't you just go ahead and say, when's DC coming by? Get it over with. But see, it's not performance driven. It's driven to performance. You know, we'll sit there and we'll play and practice and we're getting playing and DC said, Daddy, you're coming on too strong here. Back it down. or daddy need to pick it up. So if you see DC doing like this, you see him putting his foot down, going over playing, either one of us has gotten out of time, or he's telling us, get it on, come on, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. He's directing us. If you see him stop playing, he's directing us. Amen. So again, because he's so driven to giving God the very absolute best. Amen. I want to give God the very absolute best. And worship is an inside job. So here we go. One more from last week, and then we're going to brand spanking new. Misinformation number four. Oh, look at this. Some folks are having church outside today, in the back. I'm not talking about the people out there either. I had a guy arguing with me the other day. He, or not, a Baptist preacher, argued with me one side down the other, said, "You ready for the rapture, brother?" I said, "I'm ready for the rapture." He said, "You know, my church is going first." I said, "No, it's not." He said, "Yes." I said, "No, we're all going together. We're going to be changed in a moment in a twinkle of an eye." He says, "No, our church is going first." I said, "How can you say that? Give me some scripture." He said, "Scripture tells it." I said, "Oh, tell me how your church is going first." He said, "The Bible clearly says the dead in Christ shall rise first." My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. It actually means to pine away, just to get real thin until you actually have nothing left and you just kind of poof, you're gone. Sometimes I've watched people, you know, spiritually they were big and strong, and I watch them go, and poof, they're gone. Where are they at? I don't know, but they're not here. Poof, they're gone. So misinformation number four. True worship happens when the music and the message are good. It definitely enhances, but that's not when it happens. Okay? The truth is, true worship happens when we worship in spirit and in truth. John 4, 21 through 24. So now, get ready. That's why when we sing spiritual songs. We sing God's word. Because we're singing God's word, that's worshiping God. And as we're moving and we're singing God's word, that's spirit and in truth. Right now, in here right now, what's going on is in spirit and in truth. So now, get ready. Number five. We've got eight of them. Here it goes. Our preparation for worship. Misinformation number five. Worship happens in church only. Really? How many of you have been riding down the car? Riding down the road in the car and you're doing this. I had somebody behind me one day and I was just worshiping God and I had my hand raised and bouncing my head. And all of a sudden they sped up real fast and got beside me and saw me. And I wasn't paying much of attention to them. I saw them looking at me and I saw them speed way on up ahead. And I realized they must have thought I was having a problem. They went to call 911. All right. Worship, the truth is, worship happens every day in everything that we do. DC and Daniel, when they were little, we'd be riding down toward Possum Track, and the way the sun set and the way the lights would shine, we would see the trees like mountains, and whenever it was thundering and lightning, I said, "Boys, what's that mean?" They said, "God's on his mountain." And when the wind was blowing, you could see those trees going back and forth. And I said, "What's those trees doing, boys?" And they said, "The trees are clapping their hands, Dad. The trees of the field are clapping their hands. They're worshiping God." I said, "That's right, boys. Don't ever forget it. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of righteous judgment." That don't mean count them. Seven times a day means perfection, the perfect number. It means you do it without stopping. God, I thank you. All day long I'm saying, "God, I thank you. God, I thank you." When I minister to the inmates, I tell them, when you go into that courtroom, when you whatever's going on, whenever we're transmitting you places and putting you places, you be praising God and you be thanking God and you thank him for divine favor. And those guys come back and go, "Man, it's so much easier when we put God in this instead of going, what's going to happen next?" Well, it can happen anytime. Worship can happen anytime if we're open to the reality in the presence of God. Misinformation. Number six. Talk about passion. I'm willing to worship if we all get involved. Let me just stop there for a minute. When I got in the early days in the Church of God, and I weren't sure about all that was going on, I knew when they got the red back hymnal out and turned to 37, we were going to worship. I know that I looked on the front, and I saw Sister Maud start doing like this and putting her hand up. I go, we're getting ready to throw down. And I hear somebody in the back start shouting. I go, we're getting ready to really get in there. And then all of a sudden, we'd all get throwing down and having a good time. But you know what? I don't need Sister Maud to do like this. I don't need Brother Tom in the back going, glory! All I need is me and God. Just me and God. Just you and God. Look, I'm willing to worship if we all get. I love it when we all get involved, whether you get involved or not. Hey, I'm getting involved. I'm going to worship God. My question is, why would you sit back and wait when you know God's in the house? So the truth is, I'm willing to worship if it's me alone. Psalm 103, 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless His holy name. Misinformation number seven. Don't let your life affect your worship. Let your worship affect your life. Wow, that's powerful. You can come in here thinking about how bad you got it and not worship God. Or you can come in here and forget about how bad you got it and how good God is and watch God do something special in the middle of it all. So, misinformation number seven. Worship does not affect my life. Don't need it. Who would say that? Have you ever said that? Worship doesn't affect my life. Why have I even got it? Truth is, worship is a life-altering experience. Can't live without it. That's why we have praise and worship before I preach. You know why? Because praise and worship is something that unifies and draws us together and gets our eyes on God. I can start out with a cold sermon, and it may do great, I don't know, but if we're all got our eyes turned toward God, and we're worshiping God, it goes ahead and starts plowing up the field and getting it ready. So when I drop the seeds, I'm dropping it in a good row that's been plowed by praise and worship. So praise and worship is very important, it's very vital. We have to have it in order for the Word to get going there strong and get planted good. Psalm 27 and 4, New American Standard Version. One thing have I asked from the Lord, and that which I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple. It might be kind of hard to see, so I think I'll read it to you. This is the New Living Translation, Isaiah chapter 6. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne. In other words, the physical throne was vacated, but the heavenly throne was still vacated, or not vacated, was still enthroned by God. God was still there. I saw the Lord on the throne, high and honored. His long clothing spread out and filled the house of God. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. One called out to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of all. The whole earth is full of His shining greatness." And the base of the doorway shook at the voice of him who was calling out. But the house of God was filled with smoke. Then I said, "It is bad for me, for I am destroyed, because I am a man whose lips are unclean. And I live among people whose lips are unclean. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of all." Then one of the serpents flew to me with a burning coal, which he had taken from the altar using a special tool. And he touched my mouth. And he said, "You're clean." Wow. Redemption is so powerful that even the angels can't touch it. All they can do is take the tongs. What Jesus did with that redemption, that coal, and put on Isaiah's lips. Finally, misinformation, number 8. Look at all these styles of worship. We all worship different. Every one of us. There's blended worship, contemporary worship, worship and service, modern worship. I can't even read all of them. There's all that. There's a lot of different kinds of worship. Misinformation number 8. We must follow a specific pattern. There's no pattern to follow. Just raise those hands and start talking to God. Just raise them and start talking. Just start thanking Him. You know, my wife, when she worships, she looks like a beautiful sprinkler system. And when I worship, I look like a water hose with the end cut off. It don't matter. That's why that base is made out of oak, so to hold me down. All right. The truth is, listen carefully, God values the why more than the how. Woo! God is more concerned with you putting up that hand and worshiping Him than He is about how you do it. If you do it with one finger, you do it with all your fingers, you do it with both hands, you hold one leg up. This isn't a hokey pokey. You put your right arm in, you take your right arm out, put your right hand in, and you shake it all about. You do the worship pokey and you turn, no. Whatever. It doesn't matter. It's why we're worshiping Him. Authentic worship is individual. It can also be collective. It is not restrained. And it is constantly pleasing. It brings us closer to God and to one another. You know, like I told you last week, I remember talking with a prisoner not long ago. And he's asking about why would God allow all this to happen? And we got talking about God and talking about how God works. And I looked down and I noticed that he kept putting his head down. And pretty soon, I saw the tears flowing down his face. His hands were handcuffed. Tears going down his face, but I saw the hands doing like this. You know, God won't look at those handcuffs. God weren't looking at that orange suit. God looked at those tears as that guy looked up to God and began to worship Him. Wow. You see, I'm getting ready to close. DC, you can get ready. Worship isn't a feeling that you wait for. It's a choice that you make. It doesn't matter if we get the redback hymnal out. It doesn't matter if Sister Maud or Brother Tom, whatever they do, it doesn't matter. Worship is an inside job. And once it starts to move inside of that heart, it'll move out. And whether it's a hand up, whether it's a tear, whether it's a shout, whether it's just crying or just calling out to God, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. God's heart is touched. And our heart is being lifted up. Now, I'm going to give the same assignment that I've given all 3 weeks. This is the third week on worship. And that is, here's what I want you to do this week. It's so important. Remember, worship is about forgetting what's wrong with you and remembering what's right with God. So your assignment this week, number one, check your focus. Are you focusing on what's wrong with you or what's right with God? Are you focusing on what everything you got bad? Are you focusing on things you got going good? Are you focusing on the heartaches in your life? Or are you focusing on the healer in your life? Grow that focus. You make sure once you get it right, you keep it right. And how do you keep it right? By getting in God's Word, reading God's Word, and worshiping Him. There's no special set formula. Just thank Him and worship Him. then lock that focus. Worship serves as a profound method of connecting us with Almighty God. Engaging in moments of worship can provide a clear perspective, shifting focus from individual circumstances to divine sovereignty. This week, I dare you. I double dog dare you. Check that focus. Grow that focus. Lock that focus. As soon as you start to worship God, Satan will throw up roadblocks. The phone will ring. Something will happen. You'll hear noise. There's always something going on. Whenever you make your mind up to pray or make your mind up to worship God and connect with Him, always going to be something that gets in the way. Don't let it change your focus. When you're worshiping God, lock that focus. Because Satan knows just what it takes to get your focus off of God and onto your problems. Everybody stand. All heads bowed, all eyes closed. That joke I told in the front actually is good for the altar call, because many of us have seen God move supernaturally in our life, like He moved on that golf course for that nun. And He took a bad shot and used all kinds of means supernaturally to put it right there at the hole. And they still missed the putt. Today, right now, I boldly declare to God, through supernatural means, this whole service has showed you and prepared you for that hole-in-one. But it's up to you whether you take that putt. It's up to you whether you really give it a shot. It's up to you if you get that focus on God and keep it there, or you let every distraction in the world come against you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If I'm talking to you right now, first, I'm not going to make an example of anybody, I promise. If you're here right now and you would say, Pastor, my first distraction is I'm really not where I should be with God. I hear it all the time. I'm telling myself, my spirit's telling me, Satan tells me I'm not where I should be with God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're not where you should be with God, you know it. Nobody's got to beat you up. Nobody's got to point it out to you. You know. While nobody's looking around, every head's bowed, every eye's closed, would you put up that hand? I'm not going to call you out. Would you put up that hand and say, I'm not where I need to be with God? Be honest. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them mightily. Maybe you're here and you and God, you know you're all right with Him, but you've let everything under the sun break your focus. God set everything up supernaturally, but you missed that putt because you lost that focus. If you're here today and you're needing God to help you move beyond distractions, get back that focus. But nobody's looking around. Every head's bowed, every eye closed. Would you put that hand up and say, help me, Lord. Help me. Hands up everywhere. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. We're going to pray together right now. Everybody pray with me. And expect something special this week. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your amazing mercy and grace. I ask you right now to draw me closer to you, Father. Put me in the center of your focus. And God, help me put you in the center of my focus. I thank you for all these opportunities that you give us all the time. Help us, Lord, to take advantage of it. And help us, God, to worship you in spirit and in truth. We rededicate our life and our focus to you, God. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Now, we'll say the Lord's Prayer, and after we say the Lord's Prayer, I'm going to ask Brother Wayne to dismiss us in prayer. Ready? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.